we want to talk now about the issue of student housing, because we're not too far away. We've just come through examination results, but we're not too far away from the scrabble and the annual scramble for people who are looking to return to college, for people who are going to college for the first time to try and find accommodation. And indeed, many deposits have already been paid on different houses and different apartments and different student accommodation blocks across the country. Sinn Féin are looking this week in the Dáil for Further and Higher Education Minister to pay better attention and to provide more protection for student renters, particularly those in digs. With me on the line is Sinn Féin spokesperson on Further and Higher Education, Mairead Farrell. Deputy Farrell, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry. Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, this bill, it's the Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill. It was debated last night. It deals with so-called digs accommodation, where a student rents a room in which the homeowner also resides as part of the rent-a-room scheme. And it provides tax relief up to €14,000 per year. But you say there are no obligations to give protections to those renting the room. Is that right? What's missing here from your point of view?
Yes, exactly. So we had the debate last night, and I'm delighted that the government allowed it to go through, so that there was, I suppose, support in relation to this bill across the floor of the House. So I'm really delighted now, I have to say, with that. So look, I suppose this is something that obviously we know there have been, for decades, people have used digs accommodation, especially, say, maybe people going into first year, they might need that little transition period in that first year, or maybe even longer when they're moving out of home for the very first time. And look, it has worked incredibly well. But we also know that now the way it is with student accommodation, and student accommodation just being so expensive, that far, far more people need to rely on this digs accommodation. So as a result of that, there's that €14,000 tax break that we know people get, so they don't get taxed on that €14,000. They can earn up to that amount. But the problem is, at the moment, I suppose, Gerry, is that there's no protections whatsoever. So this is about literally bringing in very basic protections, things that you would really see as fundamental to the students who are renting and digs accommodation. Now, it's actually not just about them. It also gives protections to those people who are opening their doors and welcoming people into their family homes, and you know, students and indeed workers as well who might stay with them for a period of time. So there's a few basic things, and some of this I think will probably shock you, and will probably shock listeners, that there isn't this kind of protection in place at the moment. So one of the things, for example, that you don't have a right to is locking your bedroom door. Now, I have to say, Gerry, as a woman, and I'm sure there's plenty of people listening who would agree with me, I just would not feel comfortable sleeping in a room, in a bedroom, where I did not have the ability to lock that door. I just wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't feel comfortable in it, right? Now, a lot of the students who, you know, have raised this, you know, they say things just as innocent as, like, you know, the toddler in the house, you know, running in and out of the room because they don't know that you're not part of the family, right?
Yeah.
But obviously there's concern that there could be something more sinister. You also don't have access to any kind of a notice period. So, you know, students have been thrown out overnight, you know, but also for the person who's renting out the room, if you're reliant on that income, if somebody decides to get up and go the next day, you don't have that income. So it's about having a 30-day notice period. It's not about having the same protections as if you're an ordinary tenant, you are in a family home, but it is about bringing in some of those protections. And the other thing, I suppose, at the moment is, you say, for example, in Galway City where I live, you know, you're in a rent pressure zone, you're not allowed to increase the price of the rent massively or anything like that, but these don't fall under the rent pressure zone. Things can change so quickly, and you know, it can be used nearly as a, you know, kind of a bargaining chip or that kind of thing. So it's just about bringing some basic protections in a very workable manner. You know, we need to keep these rooms within the student housing solution, but we need to have some kind of level of protection.
And you also want access for both sides to the RTB dispute resolution.
Yeah, so the way it would work, so like if you're talking about bringing in some kind of regulation, obviously you need to make sure that it's kind of, you know, it's managed. So it would be through the RTB. It's not the same onerous way of if you're renting out a place. It would literally be that you've notified the RTB that you're having this, and they have a license agreement there ready for you to use. So most people have some kind of agreement, and usually it comes from the homeowner themselves. They want to have some kind of an agreement, but it's not an ad hoc basis. This is about formalizing that approach. So for example, if it meant, and like, so if there was an issue, like you're basically being thrown out overnight, you can have that, you know, you have access to that. If, for example, you know, the student is engaging in antisocial behaviour maybe or something like that, again, there is that access. And there are breaches to the tenancy as well. So if things go astray, like, you know, you wreck the room, or you know, we're using antisocial behaviour, whatever it may be, then you're in breach of that tenancy. But there is, the reality is, we are so reliant on this type of accommodation now because, unfortunately, we haven't seen investment in affordable student accommodation. It's the only thing people that can actually afford to use is this digs. So when we're this reliant on it, we need to have a common sense approach. There's no point burying our heads in the sand in relation to this. So having a common sense approach and to have some kind of guidelines in terms of regulation to make sure that it is working in the best interest of everybody. Now, I know, obviously, sorry.
Go on, yes, carry on.
Look, I know in Kerry, look, I mean, for me, I was dealing with so many students' unions. I've been dealing with MTU, I've been dealing with USI, I've been dealing with a whole host of people, and I've obviously also been dealing with all our local TDs who have different outlooks on it, obviously, depending on where they live. If you're living in Dublin City, you'll have a different outlook as if you're living in Kerry or in Galway or wherever it may be. So I have been dealing a good bit with Pat Daly in relation to this specifically, because one of the things that he keeps raising to me is the fact that people, students are so under pressure now. Maybe they'll be commuting up and down to Limerick. That'll be an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, to get up, to go back, and the serious impact that does have on students.
It's massive. You need a place to stay within striking distance of at least public transport to get to where you need to get to. Let me ask you this question. And Tralee, look, it wasn't the worst place in the country, thankfully, for pressures in student accommodation. I know the MTU are looking to try and borrow money now to do their own construction of student accommodation. Like anywhere else it will be. But let me ask you this. This rent, and they've developed a system over the last number of years whereby they've set up a register of people who are willing to rent a room with the attractiveness of the scheme for the €14,000. And it's a way of allaying that. It's a way of increasing the stock that's there for students who choose NTU, Kerry, as their place where they want to come. If you bring in regulation, are you going to put people off? People who would have gone to that register and say, hold on a second, I'm going to lose control of my own home here because of these regulations. Do you know what? I won't bother. And therefore, you bring down the number of stock for available students.
This is the really crucial part of this whole thing. So I started working on this time last year, a little bit before, and I've been really engaging with all the stakeholders in relation to this. The absolutely crucial point here is that does not happen. And, like, to be fair, I don't think I would get cross-party support and, like, you know, cross-stall support if it seemed like that. The next stage that it'll go to is the committee stage. That's where all the stakeholders will come into the committee and we'll discuss it. And the absolutely crucial thing here is that that does not happen. So we have to make this as workable as possible, but we also need to recognise the issues that are there. That's not with the majority, but there is a minority. For example, you know, the whole issue of not being able to lock your door. There's some people who have to share a bed. Like, I mean, realistically, that's not happening in Kerry, right? But, like, you know, it's happening in the likes of Dublin. You know, so we do need to be, we need to recognise the fact that we need to make this as workable as possible, but that we do actually give protection. See, just on that whole issue of borrowing, because this is a really important point, right? And this is something that I've been raising so much with the Minister Simon Harris before him, and now Patrick O'Donovan, but obviously I haven't seen Simon Harris for a longer period of time. The technological universities at this moment in time cannot borrow for student accommodation, and it's absolutely outrageous. But the thing is this, right? It actually needs to go through two different processes. It needs to have a review initially done by the CSO, and then it needs to be approved by Eurostat. That's so that the borrowing that they do for the accommodation is off balance sheet, so that it doesn't be added to government debt. It's really important that this happens. Now, I have raised this numerous times with the two ministers, and there has been no progress whatsoever in relation to that at all. Unfortunately, my big concern is that the government is focusing kind of on the voucher funds to deliver that student accommodation. We see it in Dublin and in Cork in particular, where there's more student accommodation run by voucher funds than by owned by the universities themselves. We saw in the last budget not one red cent was given to the building of student accommodation. We need to change that. We need to look at a holistic approach.
Is that further complicated though, and is there a reason for that reluctance given some of the high profile nature of some of the trouble that technological universities and universities themselves have gotten into when it comes to student accommodation? Disastrous investments and very poor governance.
But the thing is, right, see, if you're looking at ensuring that they can borrow and all that, you should be having oversight, right? You should be, right? So I think, like, you know, you can't say, right, we're not going to deliver any kind of affordable student accommodation. We're only going to rely on those vulture funds where you're talking, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of euro that lock people out of going into student accommodation, which means that people are commuting an hour and a half to 2 hours to get to Limerick or whatever it may be. You need to be looking at this in a holistic approach. You need to be making sure that everybody who wants to have access to third level education can do that. It doesn't mean that everybody needs to go to third level education. That's one thing. I don't feel like everybody needs to go to university, but see, for those people who want to, it does. You shouldn't be locked out just because you don't have the money to do it, because your parents can't afford 12 grand or whatever it may be to go into some kind of high end student accommodation with bowling alleys and cinemas, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Deputy Farrell, and a listener gets in touch. It's along the lines of what I said before, but there's a difference to it. RTB registration listener says, will scare away homeowners resulting in the shortage of student accommodation. Just on that point, and we've heard horror stories, recent horror stories. It was raised in the Dáil by Verona Murphy, Deputy Verona Murphy, last week in relation to the RTB, how slow it is. 31 weeks for any sort of a response to a resolution process, and then several months added on to that in terms of appeals. That's when something does break down. It's really, with the number of stories, it's not fit for purpose in terms of dispute resolution at the moment. Why would you want to bring the rental rooms into that system before that's at least fixed, to give confidence to people they won't be tangled up for a year or more if something goes wrong?
So just to be very clear here, right, this is not about registering with the RTB as a normal tenancy. It would simply be notifying them that agreement has been put in place. You can do that by email, you can do that by letter, and you can do it by over the phone. It's not the exact this kind of thing. This basically allows you, right, the dispute resolution is one thing, right, that's a whole different thing. But see, in terms of, like, there's a breach of a tenancy, somebody can be get rid of overnight. Say, for example, and I have to take from the Galway experience, because that's my obviously experience being from Galway. Say, for example, a lot of the estates that are around the universities, they're older estates. So it could be an older woman who's renting a house. She had, like, maybe a 4-bed house. She's now in there on her own and she's renting out a room to a student, right? And relies on that income because of the increase in the cost of living. But say, for example, that student says to her, I'll pay you next week. I know I'm supposed to be paying you this week. I can't pay you now. I'll pay you next week. I'm sorry now, but don't have it now. I'll pay it next week and next week and next week and next week. And this continues, causing huge stress and anxiety. This clearly says, look, you're supposed to pay on the first of the month, whatever it is. You haven't paid that. That's you done. You're gone. You know what I mean? It's about having a formalised approach. Like, the majority of people who rent out the rooms want and use a written licence agreement. That's already clear from the survey data. But the whole point here is, Gerry, is that it has to be workable. It has to work whatever way it's done. When you go into committee stage, changes happen. That's the nature of the thing. You're bringing different stakeholders in. You're dealing with all the different parties. You're looking at the whole thing. Whatever way this comes out, it needs to be workable. It can't scare people off, but it also needs to be workable. It needs to be workable for everybody.
Okay. All right. Mairead Farrell, thanks very much for talking to us on the programme. That's Deputy Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin spokesperson on further and higher education.